is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, 4 minutes after 12 is the time, and it's your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. A little bit of business to attend to first, but I'll wait until the rousing music in the background has ended before I do that. If you want to join in with Mystery Hour, the number you need remains 03456060973. If you don't know what it is, I would ask you to trust me when I tell you that it's all rather fun and jolly and a welcome relief from the seriousness that typifies most of our other conversations during the week. And it solves mysteries. If there is something you need to know the answer to, and you know that there must be an answer, then this could be the place where you get it. Give me a ring, ask the question, sit back, light a large cigar, and wait for somebody else to ring in with the answer to your question. And if you're minded to ring in with an answer to somebody else's question, all I would remind you of is the simple fact that you're not allowed to look anything up. It has to be knowledge that you are currently in possession of. Do-do-do. A couple of people pointing out that we have eradicated viruses in the past, or at least, you know, vaccinatable, if that's a word, vaccinable conditions, polio, smallpox, others. So just a slight correction of one of the observations about learning to live with it, which is absolutely fine. And just a shout out for Alan, who was listening to the same hour of radio that you were listening to. Alan's in southeast London and has texted, "See, you can't compare those stats. Every aspect that you've tried to use to bury this government and the results of COVID in this country has been dispelled by every caller who actually has knowledge of the pandemic from an Australian and New Zealand perspective. Didn't work for you today," says Alan. So as part of an ongoing series of, I don't know what programme you were listening to, but it certainly wasn't the one the rest of us were. There's Alan in gold medal position today. 5 minutes after 12 is the time. Mystery Hour is upon us. Petter is in Ladbroke Grove. Petter, question or answer?
Hello, it's a question.
Carry on.
All right.
Yeah.
It's been bothering me since the Euros, right? And yeah. It really has kept me awake.
All right. Well, we can't
is
have that, can
rule?
We? Yeah.
No, well, not necessarily. But is there a rule about how big Goldie's gloves can be?
That's a very good
question.
Like,
what if goalies have, like, small hands but then wear massive gloves?
There must be a rule.
Like, Kenny Everett, big hands.
You just took the words out of my mouth. He used to work in this building. He was in the studio downstairs. Kenny Everett, one of the true gods of radio. But when he did his telly show, he was like a preacher, wasn't he? It was Hallelujah.
Or something. And it's, Tory, don't forget it was a Tory.
Don't bring politics into everything.
We haven't. But
so they were about 4 foot high, those. Yeah. Go on.
Is there a rule, depending on your stature and your size of your hands, can you have massive pads? Like, what if, like, you. I don't know what the sport is, baseball, they have them big mittens. Why don't goalies.
Massive gloves. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. I'll find out for you.
I'd like to know.
I know you would. That's what Mystery Hour is for. Goalie's gloves for Petter in Ladbroke Grove. Is there a limit as to their size? Because they can't really have a limit to the size of the gloves, because someone might have Donald Trump hands and then someone might have absolutely massive hands. Bizarrely, Petter, come here a minute. I'm going to tell you a secret.
Go on.
I once stood next.
If you know, don't do it, Jeremy. What is his name when he's got a tiny hand and his finger
goes
on his thing?
No, none of that. No, I once stood next to David Seaman.
I've
tried my hardest there. It's another. Crikey, you've missed your chance. I once stood next to David Seaman in the gents, and he has got enormous hands. Damien is in Bexley. Damien, what would you. Question or answer?
Hi, James. It's a question. I think I could answer that, but it's a question.
Carry on.
Mobile phone networks.
Yes.
So I was down in a spa, and you go into the certain areas or cinema where there's no coverage, but you still have the emergency dial out. So it's, and I presume I've never had to call it, thankfully, touch wood, but I presume it's pretty clear. So how does that work? When our phones don't have coverage, you can still call.
It's not always the case, is it? I mean, you wouldn't be able to get an emergency call out if you were in a sort of lead-lined room or something like that.
Well, some places you go, and the cinema, I suppose, is one, where they, I think they purposely try and block out your signal. But then you still have emergency calls only. So you can make a call, but only to emergency numbers. So it's just, and obviously all calls, I'm pretty sure, work on radio waves, mobile phone calls. So how do those calls get through?
Yeah, there is an answer to that, and I used to know it, but I don't know it now, so I'll stick it on the board. How can you take an emergency phone call on your mobile, make an emergency call on your mobile when you can't make any others? I like that. Damien, thank you. Gail is in Poole. Gail, question or answer?
Hi, James.
Carry on.
I was having a conversation on Saturday night.
Yes.
Which afterwards degenerated dreadfully, but we were talking about.
Hang on
the
a minute!
Tax
you can't just say that and then expect us all to move on without fine. What do you mean?
Well, I won't tell you. It's not broadcastable.
Okay.
But we were talking about the tax year possibly, possibly being moved to from January to January. But that was just sort of idle gossip. But why is our tax year ending and beginning in April? I thought it might be going back from beyond, you know, Christendom, but yeah, I think that was me being a bit going back too far.
It goes back to the Julian calendar. I do know this. Let me see if I can explain it well. I'm not going to be able to explain it well enough to get a round of applause, but I'll try. It's the 6th of April, isn't it? It's not the 1st of April.
No, it's the 6th.
And it has something to do with the Julian calendar and fears that your tax... I think we changed calendars and there was a fear that your tax would become due one day earlier than it would have done under the old calendar. But that doesn't explain April. That explains April the 6th. All right, it's on the board. Sorry, I've let you down.
That's going back centuries.
Yes, it is going back centuries, but that's part of the answer. It's a bit of an anachronism, obviously, but it doesn't matter how much I burble to you, Gail. The answer is not going to present itself. I can only apologise. I've let you down. I've let Keith down, and most of all, I feel I've let myself down.
Well, you've gone down in my estimation.
It's good to know that was possible, Gail. Keith. You are not allowed to press the button without my permission. Outrageous behaviour. Are you not going to give us even a hint about the conversation that denigrated into violence and vileness? Was it about politics?
Just very rude.
Okay. Oh, crikey.
I think it was something to do with the consumption of wine.
Oh, I see. Yes, you always want to watch that. Absolutely. Gail, thank you very much indeed. Tax on April 6th. Why? Why is the tax year begin and end April the 6th? Why can you make an emergency call on your mobile? And is there a rule regarding the size of goalkeepers' gloves? Connor's in Glasgow. Connor, question or answer?
It's a question, James. I've been refraining from giggling this, and I've just been saving it for this hour.
Carry on. Well done. Quite right, too.
Why are guide dogs Labradors? I've got a Staffy, a 13-year-old Staffy. Why can't she be a guide dog?
Well, I mean, the short answer is that it's not a rule.
Right.
You don't have to be Labradors. They're just more common because of their predispositions, their genetic predisposition. So they are definitely not always Labradors. And bizarrely, I'm fairly confident that there was a recorded case of a small horse being trained. You've looked at me like that. Now, sometimes I dream things and I wake up the next morning and I actually think they've actually... I'm sure there was a case of a guide horse in the history of the world. But I know for a fact that there have been German shepherds, Alsatians as we call them, and I think golden retrievers also make quite good guide dogs. But the short answer to the question of why are so many guide dogs Labradors is they just turn out to be temperamentally and genetically predisposed to the training and to be best at it. Breed traits would be the answer. But it's definitely not the case that all guide dogs are Labradors. The horse thing I'm going to leave for the judges, but the answer to your question has been provided satisfactorily, in my opinion.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Do you agree?
I'd say I'd agree with that.
You have to. I mean, there'll be someone listening who's got a guide German Shepherd, and that just gives me this. So I'll take that round of applause, please. And I meant what I said, mate. I can't be giving out people who disrespect me on the radio, giving out rounds of applause willy-nilly. Keith tweeted earlier this week, he said, "Ha, I've won more battles with James O'Brien than the Institute of Economic Affairs." I have no idea what he was talking about, the Herbert. Tim's in Cambridge. Tim, question or answer?
James, hi. First-time caller. I've got a question for you.
Welcome aboard. What is it?
Right, so international football matches, much like what we've just seen with the World Cup, what language does the referee communicate to the players in? Because I just don't understand how the referee speaks to both players at the same time and they both seem to understand.
Yeah. Well, maybe they get chosen. I don't know.
Nor do I. That's why I'm ringing. I mean, for airline pilots, they use English. Yeah. But isn't that asking a lot for every single international
player? Also, it's daft. I mean, you don't need an inter because you've only got two teams on the pitch. So you don't... Well, I don't know what I'm trying to answer.
Do they choose the referee that can speak both the languages?
Well, that's what I was wondering. That's what I was wondering. But then you can't imagine... I'm trying to think of a well-known inter, Pierluigi Collina. How many languages has he got? Well, and you don't need a full language. I mean, you don't need to be completely fluent, do you, to say, oi, calm down, or something like that. I don't know. It's a great
conversation sometimes where players get a bit heated.
Yeah, less so in internationals, oddly. I think we'd both agree. Seriously, now you've pointed it out, you don't have the really long conversations in internationals that you sometimes do in the domestic league.
But I suppose there's some kind of tacit agreement on how to play.
Also, what's the point in bending the referee's ear if he hasn't got a clue what you're talking about?
Maybe that's key to it.
It could be. It's a great question. I'll try and find out. What is the linguistic requirement of a referee in an international football game between two countries with different mother tongues? There's quite a few on the board there. 12:15 is the time. If you're lucky enough to have some spare cash and quite fancy the idea of investing it, but, like me, don't know one end of the FTSE 100 from the other, then Nutmeg could have the answer. You just choose a risk level that suits you from a choice of four investment styles. It includes one that prioritises social responsibility, which would keep my kids happy, and let Nutmeg take care of everything else. They already manage £3.75 billion for about 140,000 customers, and they take all the mystery out of the process by committing to transparency and keeping everything as straightforward as possible. You can see how your funds are performing 24/7 via your computer or Nutmeg's mobile app. As with all investing, your capital is at risk.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
All right. Hand on heart, how many people Googled guide horse during the break? I did, and I'm right. It's true. It's real. If this is a true or false segment on the programme, what do you reckon? If I said, actually, no, it's not just guide dogs, you can have a guide horse. There are such things as guide horses. I reckon we'd get 80% false. If it was on that show that Victoria Cora Mitchell presents, it'd be 80% false, wouldn't it? No, David Mitchell presents it. Sorry, I got mixed up with it. She presents the other one, doesn't she? The really clever one. It'd be about 80% false. That's just not true. The unbelievable truth is it? I don't know. But it's true. In fact, I'm going to read you a sentence, a paragraph even, that you are going to struggle to accept is true, but it is. It's also extremely funny. This is from the Wikipedia page that comes up when you Google guide horse. Are you ready for this? A guide horse, Digby, claimed to be Britain's first, was introduced to a BBC journalist for training in February 2018. That must be what I remembered. I didn't know the next bit, though. Unfortunately, the miniature horse undertook a height growth spurt to 33 inches, which proved too tall for its handler's office in Salford, Manchester. It had also become awkward, knocking items off of supermarket shelves. I'm not making this up! The horse was able to be allocated to an Office of National Statistics worker in London who believed it would not be too tall for her and would be suitable for her to take on the underground to work. And that's what it says, all right? I've never seen her on the underground with her horse, her guide horse, but I don't travel during the rush hour. 12:19 is the time. John's in Southgate. Question or answer, John?
Question. How can a civil case brought abroad be taken over as a public case in another country?
I don't think it can. That's what civil means. I mean, it can't be, by definition.
That's what I thought. So why are they going after Andrew?
Who's going after Andrew?
In America, and the press here.
Well, they're reporting on a civil case in America.
That's right.
Yes, but that's not what you asked.
So interviewing...
We also report on wars in other countries. It's called foreign news.
The commissioner today...
Yes.
...looking again into it.
Looking into allegations against Jeffrey Epstein of crimes committed here.
That's right.
Yes.
But it wasn't committed here, so how could
she... No, you didn't hear what I said. Just slow down a minute. I'll help you out. I didn't even listen to the interview, but I know the mistake you've made. The commissioner was asked about allegations made against Jeffrey Epstein about crimes committed in this country.
Understood.
Right. Nothing to do with investigating Prince Andrew about crimes allegedly committed in America.
So he can't be prosecuted here for a crime in America?
Well, correct.
And yet...
Not if it's a civil case.
OK. And yet Assange...
Which isn't a civil case.
Assange is a public case in America.
But it's not a civil case.
Understood. OK, thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll take a round of applause. I've almost certainly made a mistake. I was sounding a bit cocky then, which is usually a precursor to me getting my pants pulled down in a steward's inquiry. But hey-ho, at least I was right about the guide horse. Darren's in Peterborough. Darren, question or answer?
I have, for the first time ever, an answer for you, James.
Holy moly.
It's with reference to the mobile networks.
Oh, yes.
How you can ring an emergency number if your carrier is out of signal. Well,
yes.
All the carriers, I'm not going to mention any names, so you've got carrier A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
If you're on carrier A and your signal is out of strength, all the carriers have a universal agreement that your mobile phone can jump from network to be able to make an emergency call. So it will actually use the strongest network at the time to make the call.
So all you're getting is that it just means that at least one network has coverage in that place, even if yours doesn't.
Absolutely.
So there will be plenty of places where you can't get any coverage at all, in which you will not be able to make any emergency calls.
That's exactly it. And then your phone is basically a paperweight.
Qualifications?
I actually work for a mobile phone provider.
Oh, beautifully played. Round of applause for Darren.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Nicely done. Perfectly played. 21 after 12. I'll cross that one off. Why have I written down lingo? Oh, the referees. God, my own notes are ridiculous. If I can't understand, what chance has anybody else? So the tax year on April the 6th, why? Goalies, gloves, and the language of referees. I think that's all that's left. I've scored a couple of home runs myself today. 22 minutes after 12 is the time. Kynwyn is in Norfolk. That's not very specific. Whereabouts in Norfolk are you?
North Norfolk, between Holt and Aylsham.
Beautiful part of the world.
Is that specific enough?
Well, that is actually specifically enough. If I was in the mood, I'd have a guess at villages, but I'm a little bit more au fait as you head towards sort of Burnham and Holcombe rather than heading up towards Holt and Aylsham. So I shall let that stand. Question or answer, Kynwyn?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Talk of all these exam results and things reminded me of something. I was wondering, when a group of people are under stress,
yes,
like when they're waiting for exam results, as in the old days when they used to hand them out in envelopes,
yes,
they emit enough chemicals for other people to detect and understand them, or do we actually just feel the tense atmosphere because we've noticed something's particularly quiet in that group of people?
That's a good question. Let me just clarify. Are you asking whether stress is contagious? I mean, how would we...
I was just thinking, when I was at school in my lower sixth...
How do I know you're stressed? Am I picking up on some sort of pheromone releasing?
Yes.
Okay.
I went into the upper sixth room when they were getting their exam results when I was in my lower sixth.
Yeah.
And the moment I opened the door, I sensed this... strange atmosphere. And I just wondered, it seemed too quick to have been able to notice that it was quieter than usual, because I don't even know if it was.
Yeah.
But there was something in the air.
I love that. Or was there something in the air?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, it's always good to quote Phil Collins. I shall endeavour to find out for you. So is stress communicable or noticeable by the release of chemicals by the stressed person, or does the person noticing the stress simply observe behavioural change?
Yes, even if you're not aware of it.
Even if you're not aware of it. I love that. Thank you, Kynwyn. And lucky you, being in North Norfolk at this time of year, or indeed any time of year. 24 minutes after 12 is the time. Jan is in Chapel St Leonard's. Jan, question or answer?
It's a sort of answer, but you've already given the answer. It's about guide dogs.
Oh, yes. I'll tell you what, if you've got a guide horse, you're getting a Ray Liotta.
Sorry.
Oh,
no.
Never mind. A guide otter? Carry on. Tell me what you know.
I've had four guide dogs, and only one of them's been a Labrador.
Oh. What were the other three?
My second one was a bearded collie.
Yes.
And my third one was a German Shepherd cross retriever.
Gosh.
And the one I've just had retired a couple of months ago, she's a Border Collie cross retriever.
Gosh. And how does it work? How do they get matched with you?
Well, when you're coming up for a replacement guide dog or you're going in for a new one,
yeah,
they come down and assess you for your height, way you walk, the speed you walk at. So they know the dogs that they've got in training at that time.
Yes.
And obviously they wouldn't give, I mean, I'm only 4'10", so they wouldn't give me a great big Labrador of 100 pounds.
Or a horse.
Well, they might, because some of those little miniature horses...
No, you're not wrong, actually, Jan. You could get a tiny little horse.
Yeah, they are smaller than my German Shepherd Retriever, which was quite a big girl.
Yeah.
But it's how you manage with the dog and how you walk, and obviously your height, because they can't give the same size dog to me as they would to a 6-foot man.
No, of course not.
It's just how you can handle a dog and how quick you walk, and they match you up.
And it's just a preponderance of Labradors. So we all think that Labradors are the only ones, but actually, they are
doing Labradoodles because they try to sort of get the hypoallergenic ones and ones that don't molt so much. And they have done water dogs with cross Labradors. They do an awful lot of Labrador Retriever crosses.
Well, you live and learn.
So it's more the guide dogs are looking more and more into crossbreeds and to other breeds. Labradors are still obviously the main one, which people sort of seem to think of guide dogs. But it's not the case. There are lots and lots of different breeds that they're trying out.
That's brilliant. I mean, that is an absolutely comprehensive answer, and I don't really need to ask you what your qualifications are, do I? I think we've made that pretty clear in the course of the conversation. So are you going to get a new one? Are you due a new one then, Jack?
Well, I would be, yes, but I'm not because I'm quite... disabled with rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So I find working a dog actually quite difficult now. But if I could work with one, yes, I would be in line for a new one. But sadly, Ella's my last.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's a poignant moment, Jan. I'll give you a round of applause. It's all I've got in my locker, but it's yours with my very best compliments.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course you can, seeing as it's you.
I know I didn't tell your lady, but could somebody tell me why a skip is called a skip?
God for that. I thought you might ask something rude there, Jan. That's why we have to vet the callers coming through on Mystery Hour in case they go a little bit Anglo-Saxon on us. But why is a skip called a skip?
Yeah.
All right, I'll put that on the board for you. Do you know, I think you're the first person ever that I've allowed to do that. I hope you're feeling suitably honoured.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I'll find out for you. Well played. 28 minutes after 12 is the time. Why is a skip called a skip? Can you tell? How do we know that someone else is stressed? Is it just observation or is there some sort of chemical release that we detect? What languages do international referees speak? Two football questions. That's the post-Euro hangover. Goalies gloves. Are there rules about how big they can be? And why does the tax year begin in April? Or indeed end in April. Laron is in Greenwich. Laron, question or answer?
Hello there. Question, please.
Carry on.
I just wondered, with all these forest fires going on and the massive rise in heat in certain countries, why on earth don't they just borrow the technology or buy the technology that Dubai has and send a drone up into the clouds to make it rain?
Right.
This is actually a real thing.
Yeah, well, it might be, but I think if it was capable of... I mean, listen, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
But if this was actually a possibility, a feasible proposal, what are the odds on Laron in Greenwich being the first person in history to have thought of it?
James, this is what I've been... I've lost sleep over this.
Yeah, I know, mate. And I said I don't want to be rude, but do you not think the people like fighting wildfires in California and Greece and Turkey and everywhere else, do you not think if it was possible just to send a flipping drone up into the air, like what they've got in Dubai, that someone else would have thought of it first and tried it?
Yeah, but if it's possible...
Yeah, but the answer must be that it wouldn't work.
No, but it must. Why
you can't.
It work?
Describe, all right. No. Okay. No. Fine. I've done my best. I've done my best. Can I rephrase the question? How come nobody else in the planet is as clever as Laron?
Well, Leron.
Forget. Well, there you go. That's me told. I'll put it on the board, but I'm fairly confident the answer is going to be a variation on the theme of "It wouldn't work, James" or "Leron." You're on.
It's got to be the same everywhere.
You're
on,
Leron. No, stop it now. Stop it. Stop talking. If it was as simple as that, they would have done it.
Can I just add as well, when Dubai actually done this, they got it slightly wrong and caused torrential rain.
But torrential rain is just what you want when you've got a forest fire. Exactly. Make your mind up. All right, Leron, we'll see what we can do. Drones and fires and rain. I should probably make slightly more comprehensive notes. 12:30 is the time. Tim Humphrey has your headlines.
At UK Export Finance, we ensure that no viable UK export fails by providing government-backed finance and insurance. So if you want to expand into new markets, we can help you win contracts with attractive finance terms. If you've got an overseas order, we can help you fulfil it with a working capital loan. And if you're entering a challenging market, we can ensure that you get paid with the right insurance. We've helped hundreds of companies to win contracts, fulfil orders and get paid.
To get the exporter's edge, search UK Export Finance.
History Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
12:33 is the time. Bunch of questions to get through. Got a few more on the board. Pick off a few answers and just see how it all unravels. Matthew's in Wrexham. Matthew, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on.
So with all the talk of devolution in politics in the United Kingdom at the minute,
yes.
I was wondering whether should the UK devolve into its four nations, would the previous sovereigns' relations come back to rule the nations that they were relatable to?
This question is a wonderful combination of brilliant and bonkers, isn't it? who'd get Wales then?
I wouldn't know, because I mean,
is it Owen Landaff? I don't know why. Sometimes names just pop up into my head. Who's Owen Landaff? Owen someone. Owen, you're Welsh, or you're in Wrexham at least. Owen Glendower. Who's Owen Glendower?
I couldn't tell you, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, it might have nothing to do. It might just have been in Coronation Street a few years ago. But that name is coming into my... And Scotland would go back through, what, Bonnie Prince Charlie's line?
Or, yeah.
I don't know. Well, no, look, the answer is, mate, nobody knows. Northern Ireland, who'd be king of Northern Ireland? Brian Boru's descendants? That caused all sorts of problems in the unionist community. I don't know. I mean, you don't mean devolution, because devolution isn't independence. You mean independence.
Sorry, yes, independence.
Well,
yes,
actually, in that case, I mean, what have the SNP said about the Queen? Do we know? If the referendum had gone the other way, the Scottish referendum, would the Queen still have been Queen of Scotland?
Well, I don't know. It would have been run by the Parliament, so I presume the Parliamentary Committee would have had power. However,
well, the royal family don't run anything anymore, except in Prince Andrew's case, they run away. But that deserves more. Come on, people, that deserves more, doesn't it? Straight off the top of my head. But I think the best answer we'll get is what would the SNP going to do if they'd won the referendum with regards to the Queen, the monarch? Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll do. I like that question, because I don't know, and lots of people will. So we'll probably get an answer to it before I've even finished saying goodbye to Matthew. So what would the SNP... Would the Queen still have been the Queen if Scotland had become independent? I think Wales and Northern Ireland would be overcomplicating the question. Dolores is in Morden. Dolores, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
The tax year.
Oh, yes.
Yes. You started it off.
Yeah.
Absolutely correctly.
Story
with the 12 days.
And then it all went horribly wrong.
The change of the calendar.
Yes.
No. I know this, and I'm always telling people why.
Yes.
What it is.
Go on.
It's bonkers. Right. Middle Ages. Rent used to be paid on the quarter days.
Yeah.
Now, the quarter days are tied to the religious festivals. Lady Day is the 25th of March, which, of course, is exactly 9 months before Christmas.
Oh.
And with our Catholic education, we know that, don't we?
You don't have to be a Catholic to know. Oh, you mean Lady Day, yes, of course.
Lady Day is the Feast of the Annunciation.
That's correct.
Yeah, which is, but when...
Most highly favoured lady.
Most highly favoured lady,
Gloria.
It's becoming Catholic loving, isn't it? Anyway, of course, you can imagine what happened when they moved the Julian calendar. If you count on from the 25th of March with your fingers,
yeah,
that takes you 25th, 26th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 30th, 31st. Now, you can imagine what happened to people. What about our 12 days' rent? We've got to pay it earlier. So that's why they moved it.
That's brilliant.
Isn't it?
And so they moved the financial requirements to the Julian calendar away from the religious festivals,
They moved it away from the quarter day because next quarter day, as I seem to remember, is Midsummer Day.
Okay.
And then Michaelmas, I think.
So that, just on that one year, they'd have been hit with extra rent.
They would have been asked to pay their rent 12 days earlier.
But just once, though, because after that it would have levelled out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would,
so for centuries afterwards, April the 6th is the beginning and the end of the tax year, to avoid 12 days of extra rent being paid, 200-300 years ago, is it?
Yeah.
That's beautiful amazing, answer. Qualifications, please, Delore. Qualifications?
Qualifications. I've Catholic education and being taught this at school.
You can't say qualifications, I'm a Catholic. That we had a reformation to get rid of that sort of attitude.
But us Irish sneak back. And,
fair enough. Wasn't the reformation.
No, I remember there were riots. There were people rioting. Oh, wow. Like our 12
of course there were, because it could have been they'd have gone hungry. Could have been the difference between living and dying. 12 days without food. Oh, what a perfect answer. Round of applause for Dolores.
Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. You probably prefer a Hail Mary, would you? But I've only got rounds of applause. I don't have any Hail Marys in the room. Go on.
Tell you how I started listening to you.
Oh, yes, go on.
And that was on holiday in Fuerteventura 5 years ago, talking to a German barman about Brexit. And there were a lot of English people there who were saying, Brexit's wonderful. And we were talking to this barman about his bonkers. And he said to me, have you ever listened to James O'Brien? And I said, no. And he said, well, when you go back, start listening to James O'Brien. There you are.
That's a great story. And what a wonderful barman. And I bet those other people in the bar have changed their minds now, Dolores. Or they will be doing soon. I love that. Thank you.
I've always wanted to tell you that.
I'm delighted to. I love that. I wish I knew the fella's name. I'd send him a signed copy of one of my books. There we go. Isn't that nice? There's a topic there, Keith, when I get back from my holidays. How did you discover me? No one else? No? Oh, Dolores and me thought it was a great idea. Martin's in Epping. Martin, question or answer?
It's a question.
Yes.
Honeybees are amazing creatures.
They are.
And they make honey.
Nothing gets past you, does it, Martin?
Well, I mean, do we earwigs make chutney? No.
Very strong. Go on.
Classic Eddie Izzard. How do we know if it's... Because I was looking for local honey, and it comes up as lavender, clover, dandelion, eucalyptus.
Yes.
But how do I know which... You know, or how do they know which flower it's come from?
I don't know, but I do love this world. Or this subject, and I think the answer might be to do with knowing what's flowering at the relevant time, and so the beekeeper will be familiar with the environs of the hive and also with the seasons of the flowers. But that is not going to satisfy you as an answer, and nor would I expect it to.
I know you have a penchant for bees.
I do have a penchant for bees. I do. I do, and I might still get some. I'm only young, but I also love honey, and I do like tracking the... there's other types that are infused with lavender flowers, but that's not what we're talking about, is it?
No, local honey.
Yeah, I like that. I like it. It's a good question. How do they know? And not just... Let me know. What else do we get? I'm trying to think. What did you say the other one was?
There's lavender.
Yeah.
There's clover.
Clover?
Dandelion.
Clover? Dandelion? What's wrong with dandelion honey? You've never heard of it? Seriously?
Eucalyptus.
Okay.
Manuka. Manuka, that's the really expensive one.
Manuka's that's different, though, isn't it? Isn't that a different type of bee rather than the pollen?
I don't know.
No, nor do
I. Elvish. Elvish was another one.
You can't get Elvish honey. That's out of the Hobbit. That's out of Tolkien, isn't it? That's not real.
I thought he was a singer.
Right, I'll find out. But there are other honey. I've got some in my cupboard at home. I can see them, but I can't read the labels. What have we got on it? Okay, come on. Oh, never mind. 12:41 is the time. How can the beekeeper know that he's got a specific flower-based honey, that the nectar has come from a certain flower? The nectar collected by bees is taken back to the hive and processed into honey. All right? I love that question. Peter's in Glasgow. Peter, question or answer?
It's an answer.
That's a relief. I just glanced at the clock and looked at how many questions we've still got unanswered. Crack on, Peter.
So it's the one about stress and pheromones and chemical release. So
yes.
Humans are social creatures, and we have lots of what's referred to as social signalling, and we have lots of ways of communicating our emotional state or how we're feeling. So people are constantly doing this. Your mind is constantly reading the room and people around you. And stress is a kind of threat response. And when people are stressed, they usually have a more, for want of a better phrase, a rigid way of interacting. They become more shut down. They're less facially expressive. They tend to move a lot less. They tend to be less sort of variable in the way they speak and the tone of their voice because they're very shut down. It's a threat response. And so when the caller was talking about, you can walk into a room and you can see people, and she says people are quieter than usual, that's what she's picking up on. She's picking up on seeing people be less expressive, more shut down, more focused.
And that's not compared to the last 10 times she walked into that room. That's an almost a genetic inheritance or all of the people she's observed in the course of her life working as a sort of research.
There's lots of cultural and social variation with it. As you'd expect, there's wide differences across the globe to do with this in different groups and different countries. But yes, broadly, there's lots of similarities, and it's all to do with that kind of the shutdown and not being as expressive and not being as engaged and not being as variable and spontaneous.
So she would have just picked it up, even subconsciously, the behavioural change rather than any chemical in the air, which seemed unlikely, but not entirely implausible.
Yeah, exactly. There's lots to do with facial expressions and the way people talk and the tone of voice and things like that, and you do pick up these variations, and that's why people describe walking into rooms and feeling the atmosphere of the room, or someone can say they're fine and you know they're not fine. Yes. And that's what you're picking up on.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, qualifications?
I'm a mental health nurse and an accredited psychotherapist.
Well, that'll do nicely. Round of applause for Peter. Nicely done. I told you this would catch on, Keith. Stephen's been in touch. I can tell you how I discovered you, James. It was Chris Moyles. He described your show as a comedy due to all the Brexit supporters that were ringing in. I can confirm that the conversations were very funny, but it became very scary very quickly. That's from Stephen in Milton Keynes. Definitely a new feature. Possibly an entire show taking shape in my mind now, thanks to Dolores and now Stephen. Lee's in Tunbridge. Lee, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
So if I knew sign language and I met somebody, I'm in the UK, somebody that I met was from Scotland, would I know
Scotland
in sign
is
language?
Scotland is in the UK. I'm just helping you out. I'm not being pedantic.
I do apologise.
Don't worry. So no, you say if you met a French person.
French person?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, regional accents.
Are you? Sorry, I thought you were talking about foreign languages. No, well, the short answer is sign language doesn't have accents.
It doesn't have an accent?
No.
So they wouldn't have, okay, right, fair enough.
There are different sign languages in use around the world today. I mean, hundreds, but they don't. You don't have accents. If it's the same word, it would be, think of it as being written down, Lee. It doesn't matter whether you're reading it with a Scottish accent or an English accent. Written down, it's the same word.
Okay, so the... okay.
Why do you...
Okay.
What's the for?
Say that again?
What was the for there? That sort of slight sceptical...
I'm not sure.
I had an now as well as an What's going on here? How would you have an accent on a sign language? What would they do on the telly when they're doing the subtitles?
That's true.
Thank you.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Happy now?
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers, round of applause for me. Cheers. Take it easy, Lee. Right, there you go. Cheeky me there, trying to answer the question before he'd finished it. It was a completely different question from the one I thought was coming about accents. Great question. And there was me correcting him on Scotland as well. Made an absolute prune of myself there, but I just pulled it out of the fire at the end, I think. Ooh, more of this after this. It's 12:45.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
12:49 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Question or... Well, I should introduce the caller before I ask whether it's a question or answer. Mystery Hour is underway. Kevin is in Cardiff. Question or answer, Kevin?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
To the goalkeeper's gloves.
Oh, great stuff.
FIFA regulation is 21.1. Don't state any size for the goalkeeper's gloves, but they do state regulations for the size of the logos that may be on the gloves.
That's it?
Yeah.
So you could turn up with massive Kenny Everett hands?
Yeah.
Why has no one ever tried it? I mean, you wouldn't be able to catch the ball.
You couldn't see past them, could you? What? You couldn't see past them. See the bugs.
No, you couldn't see past them, and you couldn't catch anything either. So everything would be a rebound. The more you think about it, the sillier the question is, actually. But at the beginning, I thought it was genius. Well, you could have, like, is there any you've got your round of applause already, once I've checked your qualifications. But are there rules governing stickiness or anything like that?
No, because you can spray them with a stuff called glove glue that will make them stickier.
Yes, I remember that. I remember hearing that. And crikey. Qualifications?
I'm one of the kit men for the Welsh International Football Team.
Are you really?
I am, yes.
Oh, how exciting. All day long you get one of these. No, I was meaning the big one. Well, how many kit men are there with the Welsh National Football Team?
There are two main that travel to the Euros, etc., that we've just been to, and there are two other guys in the background.
So there are. So presuming that England and Scotland and Northern Ireland have the same sort of setup, there are currently 8 international kit men in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, you get a Ray Liotta then.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If you build it, they will come.
Cool. Amazing. Thank you, James.
Beautiful work. Well played and well done as well in the Euros. Ryrie is in Inverness. Ryrie, question or answer?
It's a Stewards Inquiry.
Oh, no. Which one?
The BSL accents.
Go on, then.
So, in sign language...
Oh, no, this is awful. It's always the one where I'm cocky, isn't it, that I end up getting my pants pulled down. Go on, then.
So, basically, there is... almost like colloquialisms in sign language. Like, there's different signs used in different parts of the country, and it's almost more like slang than anything else.
That's not accents, so, then.
Well,
that's just you've got a sign language for a word that is only used in certain parts of the country. That's not accents.
Well, almost like you could have the signs for the one specific word could be different in different parts of the country.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For example?
Like I was trying to think of one whilst I was waiting. I think Glasgow, it's something to do with almost like you punch your fist into your, like the palm of your hand.
Yeah. That's a bit rude.
I was trying to think of a clean one as well.
and what would it be elsewhere?
I can't remember. It's been so long since I've done it.
Fair enough. But I just need regional differences, but not necessarily accents. This is more like dialect.
Well, I would call it an accent.
Okay.
I think it's fair.
And what are your qualifications?
I've got a level 1 certificate in BSL, and it came up on the course. Someone asked it.
Yeah, fair. And I'm getting a lot of support for you coming in via text that there are variations. We could have a pedantic argument about whether it is technically an accent, but I'm quite happy to accept the dressing down, and I shall pass my round of applause on to you instead.
Brilliant. Thank you.
No, thank you. 12:53 is the time. Brian is in Streatham. Brian, question or answer?
Answer, please.
Carry on.
So regarding your question on pollen and how do we identify pollen from which source, what tree, etc., etc.
Yes.
But the first thing I would always say is that if you get 12 beekeepers in a room, you'll get 13 different opinions, and they'll all be correct.
It's like that, is it? I didn't realise.
Yeah. So if you were looking at your bees coming into a hive, and bearing in mind I'm a beekeeper, but looking at your bees coming into a hive, if you look at their back legs, you can determine the colour, and the season will determine what plant it comes from.
Right.
So some are bright yellow, some bright orange, white, or whatever that be. And that's the thing that determines what plant they'll come from. And all the bees generally, certainly out in the countryside, will all go to one particular plant, all collect from there, and all come back at the same time. So you see a big flood of them coming through.
Yes.
And then if you really wanted to collect that flavour of honey, then you'd wait till they'd coned it all off and capped it all off and just take that one frame out that they were capping on that day or that week of that pollen, and then bottle it, and that would be lime honey or hawthorn honey or whatever that might be.
Yes.
But one of the common things that people get a bit confused with is that if you have hay fever, as an example, and you get lots of sneezing, and people always take local honey, take local honey, take local honey.
Right.
Because the pollen in the air makes you sneeze and gives you hay fever.
Yeah, yeah? I need to hurry you a bit because you have answered the question already. So just give me the punchline, if you don't mind.
The punchline is that wind-borne honey does not get collected by the bees, so therefore honey from a hive will not cure your hay fever because hay fever pollen is windborne.
Okay. Although, as you said, there would be other beekeepers who disagreed.
Yes, there may well be.
A round of applause for Brian the Beekeeper. Brian the Bee, as we will call him. Brian the Bee, henceforth. Rob's in Wilmslow. Rob, question or answer?
Hiya, James. I hope you're well. I've got an answer about skips.
Top man, carry on.
Well, the reason skips are called skips, my grandfather was a sailor in the war. And before a ship would put to sea, the sailors in charge of the boat had to give it a really good clean down, get rid of all the rubbish, and they'd have a container into which all the rubbish and other stuff would get thrown.
Right.
And that container became known as a skip. Okay. And that was done because it was on the orders of your skipper. So that's why a skip's called a skip.
Qualifications, your granddad was a sailor.
Yeah, thank you.
Perfect. Round of applause for Rob. Thank you. Well, lovely stuff. Kicking them off now. Alan's at the Barbican. Alan, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
It's the football referees.
Yes. Languages.
Has four languages.
Okay. They're,
French, Spanish, German and English, but international referees must be able to speak good English.
French, German, Spanish and English. So what if the players don't speak any of those languages?
But I think also... that's the reason there's nothing up for discussion with the referee. It's his final word. That speeds up the game.
In internationals, they don't get as much talk back. But what if the referee doesn't speak either of the languages that both sets of teams speak?
Well, they have to if they're international. English, especially.
Yeah, but the players don't speak English. What happens if the referee doesn't speak any language that the players understand?
Then he's... word is final. Now, if you look at the red and yellow card...
Alan, mate, you're not... How can his word be final if the players don't know what the word is?
Because all the players know the rules and they know when they've messed up and or not.
Well, then why do we have a referee?
Because he's the one that actually speeds up the game.
You're not helping me. I apologise. I'm only just looking at the clock. We'll have a longer chat next time, but that can't be the... How does the ref... I mean, it might be part of the answer, but the question of how does the referee communicate with players who don't know what language he's speaking has not been answered. Mark's in Blackpool. Mark, question or answer?
Additional information.
Oh, here we go. Go on, then.
Sorry. So the end or start of the new tax year.
Yes.
It's how we got to that point, that date of the 5th, 6th of April. There's quite a significant amount of long-term planning that was never done. So the old Julian calendar was fairly inaccurate by about 10 and a bit seconds a day.
Okay.
Which doesn't seem like a lot.
But over the years, it added up, and that was the discrepancy.
The 1700s,
yeah.
It was about, well, it was exactly 10 days, or 10 Perfect. Solar days, as they're known. And so the Treasury, as always, were worried about missing out on that money when we switched to the Gregorian calendar.
Right.
So if you think the new year used to be the 25th of March.
Yes.
We had to add those 10 days on, which brought us to the 4th of April.
Right.
Okay, so why isn't it the 4th of April?
Quickly.
So that was all running very, very nicely until 1800. 1800 is not a leap year in the Gregorian calendar, but it was in the Julian calendar.
I know you're right, but Sheila's waiting. I'm giving you a round of applause. You're having a round of applause anyway. It was all there. The qualifications, he was born on the 6th of April. I knew that because I'm psychic. That's it. So there's a couple we didn't get answered about whether or not the Queen would have still been the Queen of the Scotland and the referee's lingo. I may have been unfair to Alan. I hope I wasn't, but I thought we were going to possibly be able to clear the board, and we have failed. But there's always... Oh, no, it's not next week, is there? But I will be here tomorrow from 10. In the meantime, the next voice you will hear on LBC belongs to Sheila Fogarty.
I thought the answer to your question about the players understanding or not understanding was red card, yellow card, free kick, goal kick, you're off.
And that, so they just wouldn't have any more exchange than that. You could be right. You could be right.
Anyway, a bit like Friday night down at the pub, yeah. Thanks very much, James.